Turn in your Bible to Proverbs 31. And this morning we're going to look at Proverbs 31 in verses 1 through 9. When you think of Proverbs 31, you right away think of the virtuous woman who is described in verses 10 and following. In verses 1 through 9, you meet someone else, King Lemuel's mother. But we discover that she was a virtuous mother, too. Listen to the word of God. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. What better way is there for us to honor covenant mothers this morning than to look at a virtuous covenant mother who taught God's law to her son? King Lemuel honored his mother by recording the law of his mother. He recorded her instruction, and we have that here in the first part of Proverbs 31. The commandment says, honor your mother. King Lemuel obeys that commandment when he remembers what his mother taught him. He honors her memory. He honors her teaching. But this passage does raise a lot of questions. Who is this King Lemuel? And what is the relationship between verses 1 through 9 of Proverbs 31 in relationship to what we read about the virtuous woman in verses 10 to the end of the chapter? First of all, do these teachings of King Lemuel's mother, these proverbs of his mom, do they stand by themselves? And I think they do. They're distinct from what follows with respect to the virtuous woman. There's evidence for that in the fact that, for example, in the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they actually placed the virtuous woman and the writing about her earlier on in the book of Proverbs. And so it was separate from King Lemuel's mother's teaching. Also, of course, the virtuous woman and the proverbs about her are in the form of a Hebrew acrostic. And so you have the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet with the first verse of that and then on through the Hebrew alphabet. But that is not what's going on here in verses 1 through 9, where we have King Lemuel's mother's teaching. So what we have is something distinct here. And so we have a distinct proverb, we have a distinct portion of Scripture here where we have the proverbs, the teachings of a queen. Well, what is the name of the king? In verse 1 it says, the words of King Lemuel. Well, what actually is his name? Now, literally, the Hebrew could be read like this. The words to Muel, the king, because the word for two is the same as the word la in the Hebrew. And so the question is, well, are these the words to Muel the king. But later on we find that his mother says to him in verse 4, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel." And it seems, therefore, in that context, that is his whole name. So his name actually is Lemuel. So we have a king whose name is Lemuel. But who is King Lemuel? Some people have supposed that since Solomon wrote much of Proverbs, that King Lemuel must be another name for Solomon. And if that would be the case, then of course his mother might be, well, it would be Bathsheba. And therefore it would be Queen Bathsheba who would be teaching her son Solomon these things. Other people have thought, well, maybe this is some ideal king, and we don't know exactly who he is, and maybe this is just some ideal mother who is teaching her son. But I think we have some hints about who this King Lemuel is from how the proverb begins in verse 1. Because it says literally in the Hebrew this, "The words of Lemuel, king," and then it has "Massa, king of Massa, which his mother taught him." Now in the King James Version, the word Massa, which is a proper name, is translated prophecy, and in our New King James Version, you'll see that it's translated with utterance. But it seems that we actually have a proper name there. So literally it says, "The words of Lemuel, the king of Massa." And so this Lemuel apparently is the king of Massa. Well, the question is, well, where is Massa? Where is a nation called Massa? Well, we do know that there was a son of Ishmael who had that name. And so some people have proposed that Lemuel was therefore a descendant of Abraham through Ishmael, and therefore reigned over a nation or a tribe then that came from Ishmael. And then we know that there was a North Arabian tribe that's mentioned in some Assyrian sources that is called Messiah. Or Messiah. And therefore, if that is true, what we have here is a descendant of Abraham through Ishmael. And in those generations, we have a covenant mother. We find that the godly traditions have been passed down through the generations from Abraham through Ishmael. And we have a woman then who is not a Hebrew, and she is teaching her son the law. There's another reason to think that King Lemuel and his mother are not Hebrews, and in that the word for son used here is not the normal Hebrew word. In verse 2, when she says, "What, my son," the normal Hebrew word is ben. But here we have the word bear, which is often an Aramaic form of it. And so it looks like what we have here is probably a text that comes from a non-Israelite origin. It seems like we have perhaps someone who is a descendant from Ishmael. We have someone who is yet a covenant mother, and she knows God's law, and she's teaching it to her son, who is a king named Lemuel, who perhaps is the king of a tribe or country called Massa. And in the Word of God now, we're told about the laws of this queen. The title of my sermon is "Obeying the Law of Your Mother." We're going to look at the meaning of that, and then secondly, the reason why you ought to obey the law of your mother, and then thirdly, the blessedness of obeying the law of your mother. We do not know a whole lot about King Lemuel, but we do know that he had the invaluable and priceless gift of a covenant mother, a godly mother. And it is striking that he wants to pass on the law of his mother. It is striking to me that when you turn to the book of Proverbs, the Holy Spirit emphasizes repeatedly the law of a godly mother. Sometimes as a father, I felt like I'm Moses on Mount Sinai, constantly giving the law to my sons and my daughters. But mothers also are to be teaching their sons and their daughters God's law.
And covenant children, one of the main points of the sermon this morning is that when your mom teaches you God's law, respond by treating her with respect and obeying her. For example, today if she says, son or daughter, this is the Lord's day, keep the Lord's day holy, don't write her off. Not once, but twice in the book of Proverbs, the Holy Spirit mentions the law of a covenant mother. Turn, first of all, in your Bible back to Proverbs 1. And look at Proverbs 1 and verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. So we have an explicit mention of the law of your mother. And then turn ahead in Proverbs to Proverbs 6 and look at verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Solomon, throughout the book of Proverbs, has recorded for us his father's wise counsels. He has written down his father's commands, what King David commanded him. Now, at the end of the book, we have a record of the law of King Lemuel's mother. I think the law of our father and the law of our mother should have the same weight with us. Sometimes children can show more respect for their dad than for their mom. But if their mom is bringing God's law, then of course children should treat with that with just as much weight and reverence as when their dad teaches them God's law. So the wise man emphasizes the law of a person's mother. And Lemuel's mother laid down the law for her son. She didn't do this just once, but more than once. In fact, we have a Hebrew verb that implies that she was teaching him more than once. Repeatedly, she was teaching him words. She had taught him, and she had taught him repeatedly, memorably. He remembered what his mom had taught him so that he could write them down in a collection of Proverbs. Every godly mother is a teacher. That's why it's a wonderful thing, of course, if a mother happens to be trained to be a Christian school teacher. Because what is every Christian mother? A teacher. Every Christian mother is called to teach her children by her lifestyle, but also by her precepts. I think we learn from this, too, what characterizes the virtuous woman. What makes a mother successful? Now, in our society, what makes a mother successful is the acquisition of a lot of stuff. If she is rich, or if she is able to go on a lot of neat vacations that she can brag about to other women, or if she is able to buy expensive clothes for her kids, or if she's successful in the business world. Now, the virtuous woman is a woman who works hard, too. She provides for her children, her husband, so that they're dressed in beautiful garments. The virtuous woman is someone who sacrifices for her family. But, you know, especially we see this morning that the virtuous woman, the woman who is a success in the eyes of the living God, is a covenant mother who teaches her children the law. I think that's one of the most critical measures of success. A mother who teaches the law and the gospel to her children. So that from the time the children wake up in the morning till when they're eating breakfast, throughout the day, their mother is teaching them her law. Now, what is the law of the queen, the mother of King Lemuel. Especially here in Proverbs 31, we have three different laws that she gave to her son. The first law is found in verse 3. King Lemuel records that his mom had taught him this: "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." The first law that she gave to her son was not to get involved in sinful sexual relationships. In other words, King Lemuel's mom taught him to obey the seventh commandment: "Thou shalt not commit adultery." She might have known that her son would be tempted by sexual sin. King Solomon was warned by his dad about violations of the seventh commandment, but he grievously sinned against God in that respect. Lemuel's mom knew how kings acted in ancient times, marrying multiple wives, having concubines. And so she says to him, "Do not give your strength to women. Don't waste your energy and time in fornication and unlawful relationships." Covenant children, is it a surprise that in these last days your mom needs to talk to you about being faithful when it comes to the gift of sexuality? Faithful when it comes to the institution of marriage? Is it surprising that moms need to teach their sons and daughters that the marriage bond is for life, and that therefore a young man or young woman cannot enter into the state of holy matrimony except very carefully, and making sure that one is marrying in the Lord? The king's mother says, don't sap your energy. Don't waste your energy on sinful relationships so that you can't be faithful as a king. So that's the first law that she teaches. Secondly, King Lemuel's mom teaches something that is very relevant for us in these last days too. It's found in verses 4 and 5 and 6. Here she gives him a law about the abuse of alcohol. She says, "My son, don't abuse alcohol." She says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart." It is not for covenant children to drink beer or wine coolers. It's against the law. There are even some adults who should probably never take a drink because they have a biological tendency towards alcoholism because their parents were alcoholics. There's some adults, of course, who should never even drink, perhaps because they're around people, family or friends, who have struggled with alcohol and could be tempted to fall back into the sin again. Now, what is Lemuel's mother commanding here? She seems to make a very strong command, doesn't she? She seems to be saying, it's not for you, my son Lemuel, you who are going to be a king, it's not for you to drink any alcohol at all, period. It almost seems like she's saying that. She says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. But you know, in ancient times, of course, wine was used so broadly to purify water. And so it's not clear that his mother is forbidding any use of alcohol, especially a sort of a medicinal or sanitary use of wine, so that the water you drink doesn't make you sick. But what is very clear is that she is saying, my son, it is not for kings to abuse alcohol. And the law of your mother needs to be, It is not for you covenant children and covenant teenagers to abuse alcohol. This is not something that a child of God may do. A child of God may not get drunk. And so the commandment here is a commandment certainly against drinking to excess. Now notice how King Lemuel's mom is not totally against all alcoholic drinking like happened under Prohibition, when many fundamentalists in the United States thought any use of alcohol at all, period, was wrong and not to be allowed. After all, she does say that there are some medicinal uses and some encouraging uses for alcohol. But she says, for you, my son, you who are to judge, you are in a position of great importance where you're going to judge cases and have to make decisions about how to rule the people. It is not for you to abuse alcohol, lest in your judgment and in your ruling, you make unjust decisions because your head is muddled. Or you'll be like King Ahasuerus, who when he was drunk, called Vashti into his presence to show her off, and then lost his temper and wickedly divorced her. Or like King Herod, when he was drinking, had his daughter-in-law, his stepdaughter really, come in and dance, and he offered her half the kingdom, and so ends up murdering John the Baptist. No, it is not for young people to get drunk and forget the commands of their father and their mother. What happens with the abuse of alcohol? Yes, it leads to wrong judgment, but it's the mother of other sins. You want to play around with abusing alcohol? Guess what? Maybe you can be one of my students in the seminary. I think almost to a man, every single man of the 35 men at the Danville prison campus and the 21 men at the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City abused alcohol or drugs. To a man. The result? Murder, armed robbery. If you drink too much, you lose your temper. The wise man says in Proverbs 15, verse 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. What is the positive command? Self-control. That's the positive command here. Covenant mothers teach your children, be self-controlled. Of course, that is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so, Lemuel's mother says, you need to exercise self-control when it comes to alcoholic beverages. She says, it's not for you to drink it. It's not for you to abuse it. Instead, she said, you're a king, you're going to have money to buy alcohol, use it for merciful causes. She says, give strong drink to them, him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. She says, use alcohol for a merciful function. Use it as an anesthetic for a sick or a perishing man. Give it to a man who's down and out so he can forget his poverty for a while. That's a better use than abusing it as a king. And so that's the second law of Lemuel's mother. Don't abuse alcohol. The third law of his mother is found in verses 8 and 9. She says, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Lemuel's mother gives him a very positive exhortation here. She wants to make sure that he does not abuse justice or judgment. And so the positive command is, she says, make sure you care for the needy. Make sure that you stand up for those who cannot speak on their own behalf. I love how Job said, that he was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. That's what your mother needs to be teaching you. You be eyes for the blind. You be feet for the lame. You be hearing for the deaf. You care for people who can't speak up on their own behalf. There are people who are maybe going to lose their goods or lose their life unrighteously, and they're not in a powerful position. You speak up on their behalf. Kids, let's translate this into the school ground. There are kids you're around, and maybe they're littler, and they're getting picked on. You stand up for them. You need to be kind. What do we learn about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:26? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The virtuous mother has the law of kindness on her tongue. And see how Lemuel's mother has the law of kindness on her tongue. And so she says to Lemuel, make sure you are kind to people who are weak and need your help. Plead the cause of the poor and the needy. And so those are the three commands, the three laws of Lemuel's mother. First of all, don't give your strength to women. Number two, don't abuse alcohol. Number three, stand up for the weak. Now, children, why should you listen to your mother? Now, I realize that on Mother's Day, there's the danger that I could try to give you a guilt trip and say, hey, you know, you have not been acting like you should towards your mom. Did you even prepare a Mother's Day card for your mom? And did you tell your mom how much you loved her? But remember, my goal is not just to make you feel guilty so that you're somehow manipulated into saying the sort of thing that you should be saying. No, I want, and God wants, from our hearts, true repentance, true love for our moms, true honoring of our moms. First, why should you obey the law of your mother? When your mom comes to you and talks to you about dating, when your mom talks to you about the kind of mate you should look for, when your mom talks to you about how you need to be careful about alcohol and not go to parties where people are drinking, how should you respond? Why should you obey your mom? Well, I think the first reason why you should obey the law of your mother is because your mom loves you and she's seeking your welfare. Notice how powerfully that comes out here in Proverbs. In verse 2, King Lemuel's mom is talking, and look how she is talking. You need to have a sense of the emotion, the power of what she's saying there. And it comes out through the repetition of the word what. What, my son? And what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? It's striking that she keeps saying the word what. Some of the commentators haven't been able to figure out why she does that. Why does she keep using the word what? I think it's because of her emotion. She's trying to make this forceful. She's trying to communicate powerfully to her son about her profound concern. She's anxious to have her son's attention. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? And then how she says this and how she defines her son is powerful and touching and is evidence of motherly love. Who are you? You are the son of your mother's womb. Maybe you're 15 or 16 or 17 years old now. Hey, one time you were this big and you were in your mom's womb and she carried you around. The emphasis there is on the tender love of a mom who carries her child in her womb, travails in birth, and then sacrificially cares for the child and loves the child as a mother can, especially empowered by grace. Oh, how great is the love of a mother for her son or her daughter. I have mothers of my students who have long sentences, 45 years, 90 years in prison. And a mother will fly from Minneapolis, Minnesota, repeatedly, to go to Michigan City, Indiana, to visit her son, who shamed her by his actions in the past. But she flies out again and again. Or the mother of Juanito, when Juan at age 16 was out of control and shot a young man in an opposing gang because he broke into his car. Juanito had a mother who was an evangelical Christian. And there she stood outside Cook County Jail in Chicago, praying for him. And he could look out the window down and see his mother praying for him. She was the son of her vows. King Lemuel's mom says that, Lemuel, you're the son of my vows. There we right away think of Hannah, don't we? Remember how Hannah vowed to God, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. Apparently, King Lemuel's mom had made some vows because he was the son of her vows. But guess what? You are also the son of your mother's vows, because your mother might have made some other vows, but I know of one vow she did make. She made a vow at your baptism to raise you in the fear of God. And that's why she struggled to teach you God's law. She sacrificed to homeschool you or send you to Christian schools. It's interesting that the name Lemuel probably means unto God, literally, or dedicated to God. And so notice the first reason why you ought to obey the law of your mother is because she loves you. You are the son of her womb. You are the son of her vows, or the daughter. I think a second reason, I need to be brief about this, is simply that you should be so grateful to have the privilege of a covenant mother. Many of the men I spend my days with did not have a covenant mother who taught them God's law, and they wish they did. I mean, they're astounded when they hear from me about how by age 10, I know the history of the Old Testament better than many grown men in prison who have been Christians for 15 years. They don't know their Old Testament history as well as I did at 10. Oh, how appreciative you should be, children, for a covenant mother who loves God's law and who has prayed for you. That's motivation. Gratitude. The third reason why you need to obey the law of your mother is that God has placed her in authority over you. And yes, we live in a society that doesn't like authority. But God in love has given you your mom. All authority is ordained by God. Children, your mom doesn't have the right to tell you what to do or to discipline you if you walk in sin just because she's bigger than you are. No, God has placed her in a position of authority. And God says, honor your father and your mother. That means when your mother comes to you and she teaches you God's law, you receive her words as weighty, with profound respect. Especially because you know it is not just your mom talking. It is your mom coming with the law of Almighty God. Of course, the sad reality is that we are rebels by nature. What a grief it was to our mothers, of course, when they discovered how sinful we were at age 1 and 2 already. The reality is that we children are great sinners. We came into this world broken. We came into this world born in sin. We're not Pelagians. We don't believe children come into this world pretty healthy, pretty good. And we came into this world sinners. And how we sin against our mothers. I think one of the greatest sins that children commit, of course, is violations of the fifth commandment. Again and again, repeatedly and repeatedly. And then children can say the meanest things about their parents. What a grievous thing.
when a child scorns obedience to his mother or mocks his father. The wise man says in Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." Proverbs 30, 11 says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." How grievous are our sins as children. Sure is a good thing that God has sent a Savior into this world, the Savior of covenant children. Sure is a good thing that the promise is to believers and to their spiritual seed. Certainly is a good thing that Jesus of Nazareth, as a child, always honored his mother Mary. He always loved her. He always obeyed her and submitted to her in all things lawful. The Bible explicitly tells us that he was subject to her and to his adoptive father. But even more, Jesus Christ as a child, as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, as a teenager, always perfectly honored and obeyed his heavenly Father for us, in our place, on our behalf, so that the astonishing thing is that you covenant children who are born again and already now trust in Jesus as your Savior have the perfect righteousness and innocence of Christ imputed to you. So that when God the Father looks at you, he sees you in Jesus, having always perfectly honored and blessed your mother. That's the wonder of our justification. How grateful we should be for the cross of Jesus, because at the cross Jesus paid for the sins of covenant children and covenant teenagers. And so children, let's confess our sins too, and let's flee to Jesus and understand, you know, it's not a bad thing to admit our sins, because as we admit our sins of not blessing our mothers and not honoring our mothers, we know that with God there's amazing forgiveness. And not only with God has found power to honor our mother, power to bless her, power to love her, power to be grateful for her. Augustine the Church Father said that God gives to us what he commands. So God commands, honor your father and your mother. And then he also, by the power of his grace, gives us the grace so we can honor our mothers. And so what amazing grace is operative in our life. What a fountain of grace is poured out upon covenant children so that their sins are washed away and so that they're empowered to live a new and godly life. So those are the reasons why you need to obey the law of your mother. Finally, we need to talk about the blessedness of doing this. And children, when you hear the word blessedness, you need to think happiness. You know, the opposite is, if you do not obey the law of your mother, that is the way of unhappiness. That's the way of getting drunk, being arrested, driving while intoxicated, and getting a 5-year sentence so that you're now in prison. The Proverbs talk about this. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Proverbs 20:20 says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And then we heard that proverb about the judgment of a child who scorns obedience to his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick out his eye, and the young eagles will eat it. Now, the path of rebellion against the covenant mother is not the path of joy. On the other hand, the way of obedience is the way of blessing. It is a blessing when you obey the law of your mother. Then her law is a lamp to your feet.
Proverbs 6:22 says, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life. As you walk in the way of your mother's commandments, you will receive light so that you can walk in ways that are ways of obedience, ways of blessing, ways of joy. It's also a blessed thing to walk in the law of your mother because then you'll experience her happiness in you. Proverbs 23:25 says, let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. What a marvelous thing it is when you as a child can look into the face of your mother and see how your mother is rejoicing in you, celebrating your love that brings deep happiness. Third, you will experience God's blessing and long life. The promise in the law is that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Well, in the new covenant, we're promised blessings now. Yes, it's true that you'll be kept from danger. And your physical life might very well be extended because you obey the law of your mother. But especially this points to the blessing of eternal life. And you can look ahead to the time when you will be with your mother in the life to come. And so, covenant children, rededicate yourself this morning to obeying the law of your mother. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we pray that you would work in the hearts of all covenant children so that they love your law as it is taught to them by their mother. And so that they would also love the gospel of Jesus Christ, the great good news of abundant grace and of a fatherly God who is a fountain of grace and love and mercy, and whose mercies are new every day. Oh God, we pray that you would deliver our children from the attractions of this fallen, sinful world, from Vanity Fair. We pray that you bless our covenant families, and that as dads and moms and children and grandchildren, we will be walking on that narrow way that leads to the celestial city. Oh, bless us this day. Fill our hearts with joy. Bless us as we sit down with our families. We are so grateful for children who are like olive plants. Hear this prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.